The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service.
Anyone can say they're the best, and it's not easy being the best. Get in and see why Wizards is the best. With spring, it's time to freshen up your home and get ready for summer and get rid of all those old smells with a brand new Woodwick candle. Get in and check out all the fragrances like Beachfront Cottage, Bergamot, and Basil. Clean Rain, Cool Linen, and countless others all on sale right now. Mention Radio Memphis and get an additional 20% off at checkout. 1999 Madison Avenue, online at wizardsmemphis.com. Open every day. Wizards! Because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to purchase smoking related items. Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. It's episode, I don't know. Oh, I don't have my notes. I don't have the one that was supposed to run today. D is here.
Apparently.
Hey, let's do a show.
Absolutely.
I think it's episode 177, 178, I think.
Okay.
I think, I don't know. There's no rhyme or reason to
it. No, I get it.
So, we're down here in Studio B because Studio A has computer problems.
Mm-hmm. I saw the picture you threw up.
Yeah, I threw up all right. that picture is, and that was when I had went through the last resort of everything and put it all back together. Now let me grab a picture of this for old time's sake, and then I posted it.
Right.
With the term "Welcome to the Machine."
I saw that
from the Pink Floyd thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess after I'd posted it, I'd realized it was an insinuation that it's a new machine. And it's not, because our friend Chris Frieda said, I see you have a new computing device. Can it play Crisis?
Yes.
It used to be able to. Now it's a paperweight.
Well, I mean, oddly enough, it's kind of funny because, you know, we'll go back to, the Memphis storms up until today.
Uh-huh.
This has been that time where if anything was going to, you know, break down, if anything was going to, you know, short circuit, and if anything was actually going to blow up, now is it.
Yeah, that was it.
And here's the thing. We're getting ready to celebrate our 6th birthday.
Yes, we are.
And the fact that we've gone as far as we have, yes, of course we've added some things, you know, as time has gone on.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But the fact that we've gone as far as we have, you know, we're doing all right.
I'm all right with it. Yeah, I mean, I'm not that freaked out about it because in this particular case, it was just the motherboard that went. So far, the other stuff seems to have checked out fine. So really,
it just sounds big. It sounds like it sounds like a big deal.
Because there was a time when it really was. Desktops are not as popular as they used to be.
Yeah.
Thanks to tablets and phones and laptops.
Well, sure.
Desktop computing is almost now relegated now to offices and professional environments.
Mm-hmm.
And because that has happened, the price has just bottomed out.
It has.
So I can get a really nice motherboard for less than like a couple hundred bucks.
Right.
And then put my other peripherals in there, assuming they're okay. I think they are. And then, you know, away we go. It won't take me too long. You know, a few hours and boom, I got a new machine and it's up and running.
Right.
Now, had that been like a tablet or a high-end laptop that
Mm-mm.
shit the bed like that,
Mm-mm.
that would have been a whole nother animal. Of course, I would, you know, one thing that I've learned is you never rely on one machine solely.
No, you're not supposed to.
And I never have. But in this particular case, especially with all the data that we have, I've got separate drives and stuff that I keep that stuff on, and it's all untouched. It's all good. Plus, I use some offsite backup, one of which I have in my bag. I've got this terabyte external drive that I'm always putting stuff on.
Right.
That's what I use to go back and forth from Studio A to Studio B. I got stuff I've done at that studio at the house, and I've got to bring it back here.
Right.
To do some work on it, or vice versa, you know. And so I'm not, that's why I'm not freaked out about it. You know, it's like, it's a headache. It's a bump in the road. Big deal.
It is what it is.
And it'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
It'll be great. You know, we're coming up, like you said, on our 6th anniversary, which is the 1st of July or birthday or whatever the fuck it is. And, I'm just trying to get through it week by week, you know.
Well, I'm trying to get through it, you know, day by day. I'm trying to get through it shift by shift. Just
shit by shit.
A shift.
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 Shift. Shift.
Yeah, you got to take a shift. Yeah, you have to because, you know, we've got so much going on.
And a lot of people may probably don't realize, you know, all the things that we've got going on in the background.
We don't talk about it. You never talk about this. Unless you talk about it in circles like we're doing now because people are listening going, why get to it? What are you talking about?
No.
No, you'll just have to
have to find out when it's ready.
It points back to what people, I think, fail to understand in this industry, in show business, entertainment, content production, if you will, that 99% of the work is done away from microphones.
It is. There's a lot of stuff that's
cameras
done.
And stages. It's all done in dark, dank basements.
Absolutely. In closets, behind closed doors, in hiding.
Right now.
Exactly. In hiding.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, a lot of people, you know, they don't understand. You know, they see the 10 seconds of magic, you know, and they're thinking, okay, that's all you've got to do is show up and blah. Magically, all of these things are in place and all of these things happen and all of these things are put together, and it doesn't work that way.
Nope.
I can sit there and honestly tell you that I have probably been beating my head against the wall now, you know, for quite some time. I promise I'd never do this to you, but I have quit on you about 10 times this week.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's right. I quit several times myself.
All right. Oh, just
since Memorial
Day. Well, you know,
right. You know, and then, but and when I'm at that point, then you're sending me stories about, you know, Cumulus is about to go tits up. iHeart's on the ropes. Who knows who else is going to, you know, television is hurting.
Right.
It's all this stuff that's going on, and we've positioned ourselves to be in that. This is what we've been fighting for 6 years,
and now
we're in it.
And look, it's that visual where our clothes are tattered, we're thirsty, our tongues are thick, they're hanging out of the side of a, you know, our hair is in knots,
matted.
You know, it's mangled. You know, I've got blood dripping out of the corner of my mouth. You know, my nail, I've got dirt that, you know, you don't even know what color my nails are.
Right,
you know,
right.
And my face is literally. Dragging, my nose is dragging across the ground, and it's one of those things where, you know, in order to keep up, there's so much, you know, that really affects what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not just artists, and it's not just music, and it's not just clicking this mic on and talking about it and having a radio show. You know,
right.
There's a, you know, as far as, you know, on industry side, as far as, you know, who's doing what, who's landing where, who's going where, you know, what companies are making alliances, what companies are going away, you know, who is jumping ship, who is actually boarding ship, you know, and it's
who's hanging on to the ropes and doing absolutely nothing. Harambe. You know, and that's just it. That it. Right now, with the playing field getting so level with the internet,
yeah,
you know, and it's affecting everything from retail sales down to broadcast and show business to the hey, look at me thing. We're starting to see now the really shitty broadcasters and entertainers starting to go away.
Sure,
because they just can't keep up, and then they're easily frustrated because they don't have enough listeners. One of the subreddits that I follow on Reddit is the podcast subreddit, and I laugh. Because almost, I think on average, 3 times a week, there's a post. Me and my bros are starting like this new show, and we've done like 3 episodes, and we're talking for like 4 hours, and we sit and we drink beer, we smoke pot, and nobody's listening. Can anybody tell us why?
Okay.
And I've wanted to just hop in and go, because you suck.
You can't. Well, you could do that.
I could, but it's like it's because you're doing exactly that. You're sitting around with your buds telling inside jokes that nobody else gives a shit about, and you're rambling on for entirely too long about shit that nobody cares about. And then they're expecting to be like Marc Maron, or they're expecting to be like this. They're like this show. Not that we're great shakes, but shit, 400,000 subscribers can't go wrong.
Okay.
So there's that.
Hmm.
And then they're like, well, I want to taste the pie. How do I get advertisers?
Yeah, tell us.
Yeah. Once you got that fucking figured out, let us know. But, I mean, we do have a couple of ads in this thing. But and you voice one of them.
Mm. I did.
Yeah. But there is so much that has taken place between episode one and today.
There's a ton.
I mean, it's like three years, 52 weeks in a year. I forget. But anyway, we've never missed a week.
Right.
It's always happened. And, right. And if you go back and listen to all this nonsense chronologically, you can see the evolution of this thing as a whole.
Of course.
And then you can hear about the evolution of this radio station in reference to what I've done in the past or what you've been a part of. Because this is like your seventh or eighth appearance on this show.
Something like that, you know, and in each appearance, it's always interesting because, you know, you can kind of tell, you know, how we've grown, you know, together, you know, with working on this, you know, because, you know, it's been no secret, you know, that I came in, you know, kicking and screaming. And, you know, now.
Of course. That's how that's done.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, literally, it was like roped by the neck, you know. But
you will do this.
Whatever. But now, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, it's kind of become a calling. And, you know, for me, you know, it's so much more than you know, this right here. It's so much more than, you know, of course, you know, we're sitting in our studio and, you know, and I'm looking at a broadcast table and stuff. And it's so much more than that. You know, it's so much more than the recording studio that we finally, right. You know, got up and running. It's so much more than that, you know, and it's always more. It's always more. It's always more. And, you know, and I find myself inundated, jumping in all these rabbit holes and, you know, and trying to really, you know, make sense and make pieces. And then on top of that, you know, being able to give great, you know, great advice or being able to, you know, work with some artists, you know, on a couple of things. And, you know, and at the end of the day, it just, it, you know, it gets to be crazy and it gets to be a lot.
It gets insane.
Well, yeah.
And there's a lot to it. I'm sitting here, I'm going through, I have my Facebook thing open because I had been threatening for a while.
Are you going to make a post on something?
No, I wasn't. No. Okay. Well, kind of. Because I was thinking about this in the past. I was thinking about perhaps allowing Facebook Live to be a part of a taping of this podcast for a few moments.
Man, don't get me on there. No.
All right, then I won't. I'll do it some other time. But
yeah.
I'll do it when I get the other studio.
You're like, no,
because no. What I wanted to do was like let it happen and then basically ignore it because I know people would want to see it. But at the same point, there would be a point where I would respond to some of the things that,
well, sure,
that would happen in there and then cut it off before we get to the music because we're going to play a song at some point. I have no idea what song we're going to play.
Okay.
We'll figure it out as we go.
Okay.
But, I mean, we're, 12 minutes in. So so there's that. But yeah, I mean, with all the things that we've been so busy here this past, over the winter, really. We've developed a whole thing, a whole slew of things that you people are going to see, one of which we can talk about, and that's the existence of Strange Things.
Yep. You've been seeing...
we're going to start some late night programming, and that's going to be the flagship show.
That is the flagship show, and you guys have been seeing some really cool, crazy cool stuff, you know, coming across our social media. You that have been tuned in, you know, and listened to our broadcast.
And if you're not tuned in, don't ever tune in, because you'll hate...
Stop it.
I kid.
Stop it. But, you know, you've probably heard, you know, a little bit of promotional stuff, you know, as far as, you know, the upcoming show. A couple announcements, you know, including, you know, co-hosts and people that are involved. You know, working with a very, very cool, outfit, you know, that has created, you know, just an incredible little piece of content, you know, and has allowed it to be placed on Radio Memphis. And so we couldn't be, you know, more pleased. And,
yeah,
you know,
these guys
happy.
have been really helpful with us because a lot of this started with the way that the radio station operates and
sure.
Where we operate. I don't want to use the word share the space, but we kind of share the space with a recording studio.
The recording studio shares a space with us.
Yes. Very good. They're very well put.
Mm-hmm.
And we have had to, you know, there's compromise that's made, I mean, amongst the parties that are involved.
Mm-hmm.
So typically, I mean, because I get this. Hey, bro, can I come do a late night show with you? No, go away. we're not hiring any jocks, you see. But we wanted to add to late night programming by having some alternative programming for that slot. And
sure.
we've been batting this around for a while.
We have.
And then the idea of the Monster Show, which we've been lovingly called, that's just been its working title for a long time.
That has been.
When it happened and we began the... You know, the talks and the people that were involved in this, and we started we had a hand in putting it together, and we became very comfortable and very excited about the idea that this was actually going to be a thing with us that we actually get to produce. And two hosts have now come into the world. Now, one of them you people know, and that's Joel.
Absolutely.
The Roswell Incident.
Joel Martin.
Joel Martin. And he does afternoons at Radio Memphis.
And you're going to find out some really crazy cool things about Joel, because even as long as he's been with us, you and I find out more stuff, especially since this has come up.
Oh, yeah.
You never realize.
Just stuff starts coming up, and it's like, what the hell?
Joel's really into a lot of this stuff, and not that he's into it as much as that he knows.
He's been to the moons of Uranus.
What?
I don't know. I just made that up.
Oh, I thought that was like, I was like really into what you were just saying. Just shut up.
That's how this works. God. But see, Joel is really open. He's found, because he loves this topic.
He does.
And he's a big fan of all of the things that Strange Things is about. And now, working with him is another guy that just kind of fell into our orbit, and it's Stephen Gunther.
And he has historical
haunts. Oh, it's hysterical.
historical haunts.
Hi, Kevin.
Historical haunts Memphis. You know, they, and it was actually, you know, a group and an organization, you know, they do a lot of ghost tours, you know, in the Memphis area. They do a lot of educational, you know, historic, you know, history stuff, you know, you know, based upon, you know, kind of, you know, the happenings and stuff, and a lot of very, very cool things that's associated with that. And he's in charge of that, and it was his creation. And, you know, we wound up actually, you know, befriending each other when I started sharing some of his events on the metal page, Memphis Metal Mondays.
Yeah, because that audience, the metal guys, love the ghostesses,
and they
love
the paranormal and everything, all that. That is their world. It sure is. And so, you know, he'd reached out, and what was so cool about that relationship was that he was like, hey, I just want to tell you that I noticed that you've been doing this, and that you've shared it, and you've talked about it and stuff like that. And I just wanted to let you know how much we appreciate that. And that's ultimately what led to an invitation for you and I to go on a ghost tour. Now, mind you, okay. This was that.
I behaved myself.
Yeah, and that was the night. That was, you know, that was another night. Okay, that was a storm before the big one that just came through.
Oh yeah, there was a storm. That's right. Yeah, it was big.
Because we set up
down in the basement of a old building.
Well, we first get started, and you know, and we show up at the broom closet, which is on South Main, and you know, that's where everybody gets started. And of course, you know, they've got several tours, you know, in the city that are going on, and you know, and several.
They have an adult tour that takes you all the bars and stuff.
That's the haunted pub crawl.
I want to do that.
And they have all of that, and they've got the Fontaine House. You know, they got some overnight stuff, and so they've got, you know, several people on their team that do all these different things, which is fantastic and it's cool. So we get invited, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, it was like whatever one you want to come to, you know, figure it out. And I was like, well, okay, just, you know, ultimately I want to come because I wanted to get to know these people, you know, and what they did, and of course, you know, we were like, okay, let's try this. We show up, and of course, you know, the weather's, you know, it's kind of funny, and that's ultimately, you know, our tour guide was Kevin Williams.
Kevin
is so funny because, as it turns out, Kevin remembered who you were.
Yeah, he did. Who I was.
Well, no, that is.
Who I worked for. Yeah, who I was. Yeah, because it was a whole different deal. Yeah.
You were a different
character. Yeah, I was at 103.
Yeah.
And we did these radiothons, these charity radiothons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that Kevin's a puppeteer, and he's got a Muppeteer, if you will, and he's got this Muppet that has shown up in a ton of stuff. And I never really paid much attention to it because it was always surrounded by children.
You were so funny because, so, all right.
Muley the Mule is who I'm getting.
That's the deal, because back up. We go through the tour and stuff, and Kevin's fantastic. You
nice
know?
Guy. Oh, he's a tremendous guy.
And he, you know, and him going through the tour and actually doing the history bits, you know, talking to everybody about what's going on, and he was very comical, and it was, you know, it was real fun and stuff. And so, you know, the weather, you know, starts kind of rolling in. You know, there's two parts of this tour. You know, there's a walking history tour.
We're walking
tour.
Down South Main, yeah.
You know, and you're learning about all the different bits and pieces and kind of what's happened over the course of time.
Which is fascinating.
And it was, and I really hated that part kind of got cut, because this weather started coming in. And so the rest of it was down at the bottom of the broom closet, you know, where we actually, you know, get to use all...
Summon the dead.
We get to tinker with the ghost hunting toys and tools and stuff. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And have some fun.
It's
and
not so, spooky at all. It's fun.
It's really not. But, you know, so we're getting ushered and rushed into there. And it was so funny because, you know, you kept saying, I really like this guy, man. But that's you. And even you had said, well, he kind of reminds me of, you know, somebody. I'm like, okay, whatever. We get down in the basement. All right. And the whole setup, you know, they've got their staff and got everybody in there, and they've got the table set up, and they've got their tools, you know, and their radar stuff and all the little bells and whistles and all this stuff, and then they turn off the lights and everything. And you're sitting next to me, right? And so we're there, and there's you know, like what, 10 people total that's on this tour,
something like that. 10. There's like a total of maybe 12 people in the room, I guess.
Right?
Yeah, about a dozen of us.
And these are just random people. And look, let me tell you something. If you were just to look at these individuals, I mean, they're normal people to you. I mean, just somebody you'd normally see just out, you know, walking down the road, somebody that could be at your church. It could be somebody that's sitting next to you at a cubicle at work.
Yeah, these are all everyday people. I mean, they're
total everyday people.
They're not crazy, weird, you know, button wearing.
No.
Religious regalia. None of that. You don't see that. But these are... Yeah, they're bankers and dentists and people like that.
You know? So Kevin goes to explain, you know, how all of this is going to go down and how they're going to be able to, you know, figure out whether or not we're getting responses and stuff. And apparently they have regulars that drop in.
Dead regulars.
Yes.
Yeah, they have ghosts that drop in on occasion, yes.
Or whatever the case may be. So they start turning all of this information on, you know, and they've got, and that was funny because above the table, they had the drum, you know, they had the
There was several things. There was a, like a horn looking thing, wasn't there? Mm-hmm. There was a bell.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I think, a tambourine, yeah.
Or something that would turn. You know,
would turn. It was hanging on, like, fishing line or thread of some sort. And it was supposed to, like, move when it was conjured upon. And there was no air conditioning on down there.
No, there wasn't.
There wasn't any movement of air. It was very comfortable down there. But then the storm came.
No, well, the thing about it was that was funny to me, and I was not at any bit, you know, really uncomfortable with the whole situation. But I kept looking at you for some reason because I would look over to the side of where you were sitting, and I'm thinking, okay, at first, there's nothing going on. There's no breathing. You know, he's asking questions, and even I would answer stuff, and there's nothing coming out of you. You weren't answering. You weren't asking. You weren't breathing, but your eyes are wide, and you're just staring at the table.
I was like, this ought to be interesting. And, yeah, because Kevin only goes, Rick, you got any questions for the dad?
No, I asked. No.
Oh, yeah, you leaned over to me and said, he goes, don't you want to get involved?
I said, don't you want to ask a question?
No, I'm good. Thanks.
And no, but the way you were about it was so weird. I was like, no, I'm good. And I was like, well, what did we come here for? You know, I was like, you got to jump in on this, you know.
And you go to Disneyland and not ride the roller coasters. Why the hell are you?
Why are you here? and so here you are. You're like, I'm trying to figure out scientifically how this is going to work.
Yes,
and I was like, oh, so you're here? You're here to debunk this?
No, I wasn't here to debunk nothing.
Yes, you were.
No. I was there because I wanted it to be. I mean, I'm scientific in certain aspects about things. I've always been that way. You know, I come from a family that has engineers in it, you know. I have been around things that I have no explanation for.
Right.
I have seen some shit.
Right.
As the old trope goes. I've seen some stuff. And it doesn't bother me. I know it's just stuff out there. But I wanted to see what they were doing. It wasn't that I was expecting them to be the whole, you know, okay, you guys got your money's worth. This is how we do it. And then they put on some show. And
no.
It was like fake dead people that show up.
No.
And it's not that. It was just like this. I'm fascinated by the whole idea of it. For example, Dan Aykroyd is really big into the ghost hunting thing. Really big in the paranormal.
Oh, I did not realize that.
He's huge into it. He wrote Ghostbusters because of that.
Okay, I thought that was just a whim.
And he's
but
got
okay.
a brother that's also way into this thing.
Wow.
And they have gotten that, if you remember, was it Ghostbusters 2, Ray's occult shop, books of the occult. Dan Aykroyd's in, you know, he's got the occult shop. It's
right.
Like the broom closet type thing.
Right.
That's very real.
Hmm.
That's based in reality.
Wow.
And Danny likes to show up at shit like this.
Okay.
because he's fascinated by it. And he's got a very scientific approach to it as well.
Okay.
So that's where that kind of comes from, because because you're not looking at it as things that go bump in the night and scare the pee out of you.
Right.
You're looking at it as to why this is, what's causing this, how does this happen? You know, you're looking, because we all have questions about our mortality.
Well, sure.
Because there's a very deeper end to this thing. And these guys, all these ghost hunters around here, they do the same thing.
Right.
So it's fun to watch them work. And Stephen Gunther, the co-host of The Existence of Strange Things, approaches it the same way that I do.
Sure he does.
He has, there's a side of him that's very skeptical about a lot of the things that people, you know, will witness and talk about.
Right.
Because there's always a logical explanation. And he'll even tell you, I always look for the logical explanation before I look at everything else. You know, Sherlock Holmes famously said, before you get to one conclusion, you have to eliminate all the possibilities. All of them.
Wow.
And when you've done all of that, then you've got the unexplained. And when you have the unexplained, then you got something. And that's what this show is about.
That's ultimately...
But that's what that thing was that we did down there.
Yeah, and it was. I guess, you know, and because my whole thing was like, of course, you know me, I'm social, and I'm trying to, like, you know, hold hands with everybody and make things work. And I've got you on this, on the right side of me, and it was like, aren't you going to play along? Do something.
I am playing along. I'm sitting there watching.
You know, and it was all, you know, and yes, you know,
I kept thinking I was going to have to pee at some point.
Ah. We get through it. we get through it. And, you know, and a couple of things happen, you know, a couple of bills, you know, kind of, you know, start, you know, tinkering off. And what was so funny was that what's the machine that was actually right in front of Kevin? And it's, and it will, you know, if you ask, remember, if you asked a question, it would buzz. What was that?
Oh, they call it, I think it's an E3, I think is what it was, or it's an E-meter, but it's not like Scientology E-meter. It's a thing. It's a... an RF detector.
Okay.
And when they came down here to do their thing, we'll get to that in a minute. When they came down here, Kevin's walking around with that stupid thing, and it's measuring electromagnetic radiation.
Yes.
An EM device. And he's going around, and he goes, how the fuck are you guys alive? I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, this thing, because he had it pointed right over here to the radio station.
Right.
Yeah, where all the gear is. And it's just oozing EM radiation, you know.
Right.
I'm like, it's no big deal. I've been running all my life. Please. My refrigerator puts out this kind of stuff. And he goes, oh my God, look at it. So it's all pegged over to the red, you know, instead of it being in green.
That makes no sense.
It's just electromagnetic radiation that comes off of electrical gear. Because this is running, it emits electromagnetic radiation.
So back to the basement.
Yes.
They're asking questions, and ultimately, there are now spirits. I think on that night, there supposedly were like four spirits, five spirits.
Seven.
Not here.
There. Seven or four here.
Okay. And they go to ask questions, and it was, you know, if they felt like if it was a certain response immediately after they asked a question, it was like yes or no. And I think that was the part where you were like, well, how do you know that if it's like a total yes or no to the actual question that you answered?
Because they weren't asking necessarily yes or no questions. They were asking almost opinion pieces, and it would be like, is this so-and-so, for example? Is this Bob? And and the thing would go, okay, it's Bob. So they just assumed it was.
What if we were saying no?
What if it said, well, no typically means there'd be no response to the machine.
Right.
No response equals a no.
Right.
A positive response means a yes. We went through that down here when they did their investigation here.
Right.
Which we still don't have the answers on.
They're working on it.
But I think they know.
But that was my point with you. It was that you didn't feel like that was a standard.
It's kind of subjective, because what if what was it that Kevin put it? He said, can you tell us if this and this? So the question would be phrased, can you tell us about? And it would spike, which meant, well, yes, which meant, yes, I can tell you about it. And then it would be nothing there, because when they brought out the spirit box, which is the radio thing that would start talking and the voices and the, hello,
Diana, let me out,
you know, that kind of stuff. There was, yeah, because they had that thing going for a bit, which is creepy enough. But, and then the proximity thing, as you got closer to it, it would beep and honk and all that other stuff. But
right.
But the thing with the light, I mean, I'm a little on the fence about that. That's the electromagnetic radiation. I mean, it could be anything. It really could. And there were, like you said, there was a thunderstorm that night. And that thing was going nuts.
And so in the middle of all of this, you know, as it turns out, we didn't realize that, I mean, it was a massive storm. Because that was another storm that came through. And there was stuff all over in the streets. There was leaves.
We nearly got hit by a tree.
And it was, and so here we are downstairs in the basement of a place called the broom closet. And there's storms and there's stuff going out and we have no idea what's going on.
We're hiding in the broom closet with Kevin.
and as it turns out, I mean, just an all out, it was a great experience.
It was fun.
And we had a fantastic time going through it. And ultimately it wound up leading us into taking the opportunity to have them come down to our studios here.
Right.
And do an investigation.
Because we invited, I said, look, you guys would have some fun down here.
Right.
Because we'd seen some shit.
And it was kind of funny because it was like, okay, hold on. Here's the thing. You're just coming to visit, right? You're not going to take them. You know,
it's like don't do anything to piss them off.
You know, don't.
Because already mischievous as they are, you know.
Don't mess with them.
Right.
You know, we like our ghosts. You know, and it was one of those.
Yeah.
You know, and so ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, they arrange it, and that was that night. So we get done, and that next day, Sunday, you call me, and you're like, I know who Kevin is, and I was like, well, okay, because, you know, at the same token, on the flip side, Kevin's like, he goes, I remember Rick when he was doing this. And I was like, yeah, okay, that's cool. And he had told me, and I, this is before I even talked to you, he had told me, he goes, I used to do this stuff, you know, for St. Jude. I used to do this stuff for Ronald McDonald House, and it was stuff for the kids and stuff. And he was like, you know, I had this puppet, his name was Mr. Muley. And I was like, okay. Same instance, here you are, you call, and you're like, I know who he is, it's Mr. Muley. And
it's,
I was
Muley,
like,
the mule, that's what it was. Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, this is like a real thing.
Yeah, it was huge, because Muley was also immortalized in cartoon fashion in comic books that our other friend Lynn Workman did. And there were coloring books that were made for the kids that were going to St. Jude Children's Hospital. They would have them around the Ronald McDonald House that featured Muley.
Yeah.
So there was, and Muley and his buddies and all this other stuff. And because we were talking to Kevin about having Muley make some appearances, and we were set aside very quickly about this. Like, look, Muley is like, what, seven?
Six. And here's the thing. In my head, I was totally cool with, you know, it'd be kind of cool if, like, Mr. Muley would come back and, you know, visit and do some things. And, of course, you were like, yeah, and we can do a bit. And that's when he was like,
yeah, because he knows me.
Right. Right. Just to understand that, you know, Muley the Mule shuts you down.
Yes.
Okay, because Muley the Mule is 6 years old.
Yes, and he acts like a six-year-old, and he speaks like a six-year-old, and he talks to these sick children.
Yes,
like that. And I'm sitting there thinking, all the adult fun we could have with me. Nope,
you can't do that.
You cannot do that.
You cannot tarnish Mr. Muley like that. you can't do that. Although we do need to figure out something though for Mr. Muley, because that would be something very cool.
Oh yeah, now, you know, if we're doing some stuff with the kids, and then by Muley showing up,
we got to.
Yeah, because the kids, they and watching Muley work with the kids is tremendous. And even though, I mean, Muley is not a full suited, you know, cosplay type thing. Muley is a Muppet.
Yeah,
that sits on Kevin's arm. You know, or his hands up his ass, or however you want to look at it.
Why you gotta ruin?
I'm just trying to draw a picture for the people that are listening.
They understand that. You don't have to go there.
And Muley, you know, he speaks, and so there's like a ventriloquism thing, and Kevin is just kind of standing there, sort of Muley's, you know, caretaker.
Well, sure.
And he's talking to the kids, so it's not like there's a 6-foot donkey wandering around.
Damn you, Rick.
He's about 28 inches tall.
You could take a really cool thing, man, and just make it dirty.
I didn't make it dirty. He's a donkey, for Christ's
sake. Well, say what's he? He's a clean donkey.
He is a clean donkey. He just has a white guy's hand
up. Stop. I hate you. God, I hate you. Just
33 minutes. No. Yes.
God.
That's what it is.
Okay.
And Kevin is in and of himself, away from the jackass. Kevin is a fascinating dude.
He really is. He really is.
He's got some wild stories to tell.
He does. He does.
And yes, he's an adult, and he talks like one, and he drinks like one.
Okay, you don't have to justify all of that.
It's not all that. It's just that when you're dealing with the fact that he portrays a character, he works with a character who is six, and he's doing very good things.
He's doing fantastic. I mean,
don't get me wrong.
He does fantastic.
He brings
things.
A donkey around and makes the kids laugh.
You know, absolutely. So, stop there. Just stop.
I'm not going any further.
Just stop.
I'm not going to go any further.
So
I'm going to tag him in this show.
Absolutely, because we like him, definitely, and understand that I had nothing to do with it making a very, very bad thing.
I did not make anything bad. It's a damn donkey.
He doesn't walk. Okay.
He's a mule.
So we wind.
He's a sterile horse.
And as it turns out, you know, he also, again, like I said, he's part of the, you know, he's part of the ghost tours and stuff and historical haunts as well. So we invite him down here
to do an investigation here.
Mm-hmm. And that opened up, and that was interesting. That was interesting, you know, in and of itself, because we were able to, you know, have some fun, and you'll find out a couple things. And it was cool because the setup was just like some of the things that you might have seen, you know, on TV. Except the people that we had doing it were a lot cooler,
right?
Yeah. You know, we know them. And, you know, they had the cameras, you know, they had all the, you know, the different, you know, equipment all laid out. They had different spots in the rooms, you know, kind of all planted out. They had the recorders.
They had a disco ball. They brought a stripper and four midgets.
No, they did not. They did not.
No, they didn't.
You know, and of course.
They did have a laser thing. It was kind of cool.
Yes.
The laser grid.
Now, the laser grid, you know, that was supposed to be that, you know, it was actually pointed to a specific area where they felt like that normal activity might be occurring. And, you know, the idea behind all of that would be that if something were to pass through it, that you would see the different, you know.
You'd see the shape of it.
You'd see the shape of it because the formations would be distorted with the laser disco show thing that was going on.
Right, right, right.
You know, and so.
You would have horns and a tail.
You know, and there was a moment there, I mean, because, you know, we had all the lights were out in the studio minus the ones that are, you know, necessarily on for, you know, for the actual, you know, station, you know, per se, and the equipment that was being used, you know. And at one point in time, you know, we're sitting in the tracking floor room, and we're all talking.
We're
and
just swapping stories at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, and we're going back and forth, and, you know, and it got to the point where it's almost like you felt like you started seeing stuff, or, you know, I felt like, you know.
Yeah, there's a psychosomatic thing that's going on there. Mm-hmm. Because meanwhile, there was another guy out in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
We had a table set up out there, and they had all their gear, their recording gear. They brought a DVR system, and they had a multi-camera monitor system thing going on, and it had glow-in-the-dark cameras and shit like that. That was all, and we're all sitting around here, you know, swapping stories about, I forget what all we talked about, but we were trying to make it comfortable, I guess, was the theory, and then you could just ask questions, and they're still going through all of this.
Well, you know, what was so funny is that, because everything was set up, because remember, I was in a meeting. And so when I came down,
you got here a little late, yeah.
Yeah, because I got right when everybody was getting started.
Yeah.
So everybody had their stations, and everybody had their places, and everything was rocking, and there was no noise. And so finally, after we sat in the tracking room for quite a bit, and I was like, you know, because they were talking about busting out the spirit box, and that's when I finally was like, I said, you know, under normal circumstances, we have music. We have noise going on here. And if there's not any noise going on here, that's not normal for the environment here.
Right.
You know, we're a radio station. We're a recording studio. You know, our ghosts like to jam. Just saying.
Sure.
So we came in here and we loaded up a bunch of, like, remember, because we're all the stories and stuff we were talking mm-hmm. about. We loaded some stuff up from Charlie Rich. We loaded some stuff up from R.L. Burnside. We loaded
all the
some
guys that had played down here. Yeah.
Right. And we started loading.
All the dead guys who had played down here. Yeah.
So there was about like 30 minutes worth of music that we went ahead and loaded up. And then we went ahead and we potted up the music, you know, our monitor.
Turn our monitors on. Yeah.
Yeah. In here. And so that's when it was like, okay, let's go into, you know, the studio over and let's bust out the spirit box and let's have some fun there. And that was, you know, out of the entire night, that's where we had gotten the most action.
You found that you had a fan from the grave.
Apparently
a little girl, isn't it? A poltergeist.
A poltergeist, because apparently this is somebody that likes to have fun and likes to play, and she's the one that's
very mischievous.
Very mischievous. And it started kind of making
FM with the settings in the rack. That little bitch.
Well, but think about it. How many times have I ever called you and been like, there's, you know, stuff is moved, stuff is wrong.
Yeah.
Where's it go? And now, you know, and it was, in the box when we were sitting there asking the questions, and you know, and they were asking questions, and it was
You hear the voices.
You could hear the voices and stuff, and they were going back and forth, and they were saying yes, you know, Diana, or Anna. They kept saying Anna, and of course, you know, you have a fan from the grave too.
I do. Mm-hmm. We never did figure out who it was.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
But they knew me by my given name, mm-hmm. which was odd. It really was.
Yes, because the name they came across, I kept saying Richard.
Yeah.
And of course, and what was so funny is everybody in the room was like, "We don't know Richard." And I'm sitting there going, "Yes, you do. You're sitting right next to him."
He's right over to your right. And I'm sitting there going, "No, that's not me." I don't know who you people are talking about. Yeah.
That was about the time you decided to jump in the conversations when your name.
Well, yeah, because my name was getting dragged into it, and I didn't want it to be impugned from this side of the living or the other.
The hell?
Just saying. Got a reputation to maintain.
Okay, you had one
even
person.
In the afterlife.
What was that was even being asked? I forgot.
If it was somebody that knew me from outside of the business, and I don't think they ever did get an answer out of that,
because
they were thinking that maybe it may have been a relative or maybe a friend. Because I know a lot of dead people. I know a lot of people who've died, but I mean
that's messed up.
Well, it's true. I mean, it's you know, the older you get, the more that happens.
Well, I know.
And one of the unfortunate side effects of this business is overdose. And a lot of young people die from heroin and cocaine and all this other crap or alcohol, drugs, whatever. They blow their brains out, whatever the case. But these are people that I've worked with. These are people that we've known.
Right.
We've got several people in here. And this studio has, we know of one guy that is supposedly comes around a lot that was a young producer who died of a drug overdose many years ago that worked in the same suite.
Right.
And that's because he's shown up in pictures. It's like, who the hell is that guy? Oh, that guy's been dead for years.
Right.
Like, oh,
yeah, he has. He has. It's been a little bit strange. Yeah, the whole experience was quite interesting. And
Joel, though, was funny about it because Joel was sort of skeptical about the ghost thing, right? I was like, don't you want to hang out? And he goes, oh, no, I don't want any part. I'm going to go eat chicken wings. You know, he was off to do something else. He didn't want any part of this.
Right.
But by God, did he not fill my head with 1,000 questions?
Of course he did. He was interested.
Of course he was. He just didn't want to be a part of it. So now he's the host of the show or co-host of this show,
mm-hmm.
The Existence of Strange Things.
Yeah, he was chosen by the producers and stuff for The Existence of Strange Things. You know, and we're so proud. We're so proud.
Yeah, it's good for him. I think it's wonderful.
It's fantastic. And you know, and the more we get into it, the more we realize, you know, that obviously in the world of paranormal that, you know, there are some that will sit on certain sides of the fence. You do. You have a thing where you might believe ghosts and you might believe whatever, but, you know, you'll be damned if there's such a thing as Bigfoot or...
You're correct. I believe it in flying saucers and UFOs and aliens and all that. That makes perfect sense to me.
Okay.
Ghosts make perfect sense to me, believe it or not. Big hairy motherfucker wandering through the woods that nobody's seen because everybody takes their pictures with a fuzzy camera. How the hell does that happen? Everybody in this world's got a goddamn camera.
So, I mean, but why not? Why not? Because you believe in ghosts. You believe in an alien. You believe in an alien that's landed, you know, some kind of like rocket ship here.
Shit, we elected one for president, for Christ's sakes.
But that doesn't mean why does hairy motherfucker wandering to go there? We were fine without all of that.
Yeah, but it's still, the idea that there is a, some say 7, some say 9 foot tall, big hairy Wookiee looking dude wandering the woods. Everybody's got a camera, yet nobody can get a shot of this guy.
Because we're considering to the rest of this, like the whole paranormal world or like, you know, the other, you know, thought processes, we're prehistoric, dumb pieces of junk. Okay.
So you're saying that the big, hairy, naked guy is a lot more advanced than us?
It's a possibility. Did it ever occur to you?
He's not wearing pants.
He's smart. He's smart.
He can't drive a car.
He doesn't have to. All right. Did you ever sit there and think, okay, let's go. Let's talk to you in a scientific sense.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. Did it ever occur to you that, you know, there's possibilities that in this time, in this space that you and I are sitting in right now, there's 10 or 12 other time periods happening at the same time in this space?
Of course, it's the multi-universe theory. I'm very familiar with that.
Okay. So
there's an infinite possibilities that somewhere in this world, you're hosting a podcast and I'm guesting.
Okay.
Right this instant.
Absolutely. So with that being said, then you also have that possibility. If you believe this, then you also have that thought process, you know, as far as the Stargate theory, right?
Yes, it's possible. Highly unlikely, but possible.
Okay. You can believe all of these moments, okay? If certain things, certain beings, certain creatures that are not of this plane, all right? You know,
so you're saying that the big ape-like creature has figured out a Stargate that is coming to us from other places?
It's possible.
Highly unlikely. But it's possible.
Oh, okay, but it's totally possible to see something, you know, of sheerness that goes through a wall and comes out, you know, like
because
a ghost.
Scientifically, that makes sense. There's actual physics behind that because you look at Newton's third law of motion and energy that. Matter does not die. It never goes away.
Correct.
Right. But we don't have physical proof of a big hairy ape-like creature. Aside from some that worked here at one point. And yes, they were. But.
No.
But now.
Now look.
Look, the Patterson film we know was fake. All of this shit is fake. It's fake. It's fake. It's fake. It's you know.
It's not. It can't be.
Even the Tibetans in Nepal, up in the Himalayas, and they talk about the abominable snowman.
Mm-hmm, yes.
The Yeti.
Yes.
A lot of those Buddhists will wink at you. Those monks, and they go, "Ha ha, we fooling you."
No, they don't.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I'm sorry. You're
not Tibetan.
No, but I can talk from that side of the fence. I'm closer to that than you are.
There's that.
Okay, yes. You know, as far as beings and things like that that do exist, yes, they do.
Really?
Yeah.
Loch Ness Monster?
That could happen.
I doubt it.
It could happen.
It's a big deep lake. I get you that. And there's probably some weird shit that goes on.
And it could happen.
Whatever.
You know what I mean? Think about it. We're dumb people.
No, we're not. We discover species of frogs all the freaking time, and they're as big as your thumbnail. How come we can't find a 7-foot Wookiee wandering around in the jungle?
Because they're smart. Because damn you. Because they're smarter than we are.
There was television shows finding Bigfoot. They never fucking found him. It went off the air because it couldn't find him. Of course, it would have gone off the air had they found him because they found him and it would have been over.
I just think there's more to it than that.
How could there be more to it? There's been no, where's the Bigfoot poop? We see cow patties. We know droppings of deer, raccoon, everything that lives in the forest.
Maybe it resembles the same poop like somebody else.
People poop?
It could be.
Doubtful.
You know? You don't know that.
I lived in South Texas for a while. You know, I grew up there.
Yeah.
And one of the big mysteries that was down there was the chupacabra, right? The goat sucker.
Mm-hmm.
That was the biggest running gag that everybody was having. It was just, there was no such thing. We just didn't believe in mythical creatures like that.
Look.
That's why they're called mythical.
There's a little science behind it. I know there is. There has to be.
What is the science? Let's see it. Let's hear about it because I just don't believe that sort of thing is. I'm far more likely to believe in dead people still wandering the earth and aliens. Far more likely to believe in that.
And aliens because?
Because the universe is a really big fucking place.
And I agree with you. I mean, that's.
I mean, we're a tiny speck of dust.
I've always been on that same side of the fence, and that if we thought we were the only thing that existed.
Arrogant for us to think.
Yeah, it's big, extremely arrogant. And I've always said that.
I mean, it's NASA has proven there's billions of planets. We're spending all of this money to find the existence of life or what may have been life on Mars. Think about this for a second. It just occurred to me. Mars is the only planet in the known universe that is inhabited entirely by robots.
Think that you know of.
That we know of. That's what I just said. It's the only planet we know of in the universe that is inhabited entirely by robots.
That's because of the ones we put there.
That's right.
That's it.
Yeah, there's no people there. There's no living thing there.
No. But that guy's, you know, who's...
And Matt Damon, who's still trying to grow potatoes in
whatever.
His own feces.
Although there is some kind of like cool thought about that.
There was a little science. Some of the science sort of worked out in that, but not a whole lot. But
you could take it with you.
You could. Yeah, I mean, there's some things. I mean, it's an incredibly enjoyable film. But see, the gist of all of this is that you and I are not hosting this fucking show for a reason.
Oh, I know. Yeah. They were smart not to choose us.
They were very smart not to choose us. Because we would have effed this all up.
We would have been arguing. We would have been...
What do you mean there's no Bigfoot? There's Bigfoot.
There is.
Nope. Nope. I don't buy it.
There is.
I don't buy the Bigfoot thing. I don't buy the Loch Ness Monster. I barely bought into the large damn squid because we got video of it. And they're tasty. But all the hunters that go into the woods and never see Bigfoot, never see his stuff. Now, I know there's some that do, but they're looking for fame. It's like the guy that claimed he got raped by Bigfoot. Really?
There's a ton of stuff out there as far as with proof and things like that. I mean, there is.
I know.
There is.
I get it.
And you have to really understand something. You know, making a judgment call on something that you have ultimately used, you know, as odd as it sounds coming from a source like us, you ultimately have just relied on media, you know, to educate you on what you know up until this point.
Exactly. I get it.
So it's possible.
It is possible. On that, we'll pause here. And we'll play a song here in a little while.
Okay.
So be thinking of that. We'll play this bit here, and we'll have more.
Sure.
Right after this from Radioland.
You can now learn guitar in a structured manner online and do it at your pace. From absolute beginners to advanced players, the New York City Guitar School can get you on the right path on guitar proficiency for less than $30 a month. Look for their banner ad at radio-memphis.com and get started today. And right now, there's even a free course called Guitar Hacks for Beginners you can take to see if this course is even right for you. Look at their ad on radio-memphis.com right now and get started.
Yeah, Bigfoot's a thing when he comes around and starts making pancakes. I'm thinking.
Monsters are real.
There are monsters. There's no doubt about it. We see them in the news all the time. You know, people that go and shoot up things and, you know, the evil of man.
Man on the moon. The boogeyman. Bigfoot.
You mean the man on the moon? We've had men on the moon. There's been 12 of them up there on the moon.
Jersey Devil. They're all real.
Jersey Devil. What the hell's a Jersey Devil?
Man, it's craziness.
Vegetable Man. That was another one that Stephen and I were laughing about. Vegetable Man. His kryptonite is ranch dressing. The existence of strange things. New programming coming to Radio Memphis in July.
Mm-hmm. It is coming, you know.
So we'll just leave it at that.
And it's going to delve into, you know, everything as far as, you know,
fun for the whole family.
And it is. And that's the beautiful thing about this programming is that everybody can tune in and everybody can listen to it.
Not like this thing. But if you've got kids that are into it.
No, don't listen to us.
Don't listen to us. No, if it's very family friendly, and it's not so much that it's lighthearted, it's just different, and it's very matter of fact and very fun, and we've got two mm-hmm. good hosts. I'm looking forward to
very
to,
cool, very educational. And there's going to be a lot of cool things that are going to be happening with that, so you definitely want to stay tuned.
Yeah, that's all coming up, so stick around to radio-memphis.com for more details. Go to the website, there's some stuff there, and just be listening on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be that. All right, usually in this part of the program we delve into a bit of music.
Mm-hmm. So we decided that we're actually going to delve into, since we are talking about cryptids and the paranormal and everything else, oddly enough, we're going to listen to something from Ghoultown.
Ghoultown. Who are these guys?
Okay, now Ghoultown, of course, you know, Count Lyle Blackburn. You know, he's the front man for
this.
He's
a count?
Well,
he actually has a title as the count?
You know, he is the coolest dude on the planet.
Is he really?
Absolutely, man. He does a lot of cool different things.
Is he cooler than me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
I didn't even, no hesitation. Absolutely. Ghoultown has been around for quite some time. They've got a huge, huge, huge underground following. And this is a band that is the best way to describe it is metal punk western spaghetti western hellbilly music.
Hell yeah.
You know, and when they put their shows and they put their stuff together, I mean, it comes, the whole package comes with this. The look, the vibe, the music, I mean,
it's
the clothes,
anyway,
the image, absolutely, man. And it's one of those things where it's just well put together. They just had an album that they just dropped, Ghost of the Southern Sun.
Uh-huh.
And what's really cool is that, you know, they've got a huge following all over the planet. They're actually going to be making their first appearance in the UK, you know, coming in July. They're actually going to be the July 27th. They're going to be in London. They're going to be at the Big Red Bar. And on July 29th, they are part of the Rambling Man Festival.
All right.
Yeah, they're making a big, big, huge splash over there.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Ghoultown do something with Elvira?
They actually have one of the songs, you know, for one of her shows. It was a theme song, and they wrote that.
Did they really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got a wonderful opportunity to interview her.
Did you really?
Yeah, I talked to her as Cassandra Peterson and as Elvira.
Oh, wow.
And they're I mean, obviously, ones that they're the same person, but the alter ego thing, and it's very fun. She's a delightful lady.
Yeah,
she really is. She's she is somebody who has stuck with show business so long that it's worked for her.
Of course, it has.
You know, and
of course, it has.
And she is a very striking woman and a very wicked sense of humor.
Wow,
just a lot of fun. She's a really neat lady.
That is very.
I'd love to have her back through here sometime.
Well, maybe we can make that happen.
It'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah, we need.
Because you know, especially as you get closer to Halloween and stuff, she gets really busy because that's her thing. But she's awesome.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Well, if you want to go to the Southern Sun, go to ghoultown.com.
Uh-huh.
All right, so that you can actually get a copy there.
Okay.
And of course,
what's the tune we're gonna play?
We're gonna play Southern Sun because we actually were able to play it during Radio Memphis Around the World when I got to catch up with Lyle for an interview.
Right. And Saturdays, 1 p.m. Central at radio-memphis.com.
Mm-hmm. Every Saturday.
All right, well, here's the tune right here from Radioland. Town from Radioland.
Mm-hmm.
From the Count, Lyle Blackburn.
He deserves every bit of that title.
Wonder what he did to earn that title.
He looks good in a cowboy hat, long, tall drink of water in
black.
Have
you met him? Is there something I don't know about you? Did you have...
Have you not seen his pictures?
Nope.
Hmm.
Dreamy?
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
Is this what gets D's crank turned?
Well, I mean, you know, on certain occasions it could.
What, around Halloween?
Well, you know, he lives there.
Well, there is that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and now you say he's going to be in Europe, and or the band's going to be Gulten.
The band is going to be in Europe. That's right. Rambling Man Festival, and he's going to be doing a show there. They played other places, as far as now, they're actually going to be specifically in the UK. They played other places in Europe. They just hadn't been in the UK.
I got you.
So this is a big, that's a big deal for them because they've got a huge following, and everybody's going to be real excited about that.
Fantastic. Online, where can people find them?
Ghoultown.com.
Just like that?
Mm-hmm.
Ghoultown.com.
Mm-hmm.
Get the music, find out the dates, and see if they're going to be in a town near you. And, of course, on social media.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, groovy. Well, that's it for this go-around. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, well, then, I just happened to have already been here.
With all of the madness that's going on in Studio A.
It is.
Whatever.
It is what it is.
This too shall pass, as they say.
Well, hopefully, like I said, we're expecting, some cool things, coming in for this year. And, we've been rolling uphill for quite some time. So
July 1st, depending on when you're listening to this, July 1st is our 6th anniversary. We've got some special programming that will be happening at Radio Memphis. So make a note of that. It'll
you
be
definitely need to
That's
make a note of
it. Saturday.
It is a Saturday.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be kicking off. We'll have a couple of interviews. We're going to have a couple of bands come through, a couple of appearances, things like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. As we do. They're fun shows.
Mm-hmm. They're going to be fun.
And absolutely none of it gets recorded.
So you have to tune in.
You have to tune in.
Yes.
Yeah, so there you go, kids. It's Dirty D. It's Diana Fryer, the general manager of Pirate Radio Studios and Pirate Radio Recording Studios and Radio Memphis. Mm-hmm. See, look at all those things.
I wasn't going to do all of that.
It's just an extra crown in the tiara. That's how that goes.
Where is my crown?
I don't know. We need to get you one, though. We had one for a while, but the rapper had owned it, had to take it back.
Yeah, well, that's used goods. That's secondhand.
No, you got to have one. Maybe the count can hook you up with one.
I might need to make a phone call.
Maybe so.
Mm.
There you go, kids. We're done. We'll see you next time. Until then, take care of yourselves, take care of one another, and for God's sake, quit shooting each other. I'm Rick Jetter, and this has been From Radioland.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved, and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios, Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.